Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Lego. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome. I'm the Jason, half of J&J. John Martin, if you guys are listening, we gave him the day off. He's remember, he held it down for me at a time where I was certainly going through it with the loss of my father. And so, hey, John's got family stuff, fun stuff. Want to give him that time because he held it down for his brother. So he'll be out. But you know who I got? I got BC.
What's up? What's up? Happy Friday to you, man.
Happy Friday to you as well. Happy Friday to you as well. Give yourself a round of applause,
oh, wow.
Brad. You know
Let me introduce you. You are all gas, no brakes.
He's our executive producer. He's on the ones, the twos. He's also the boss around here. He has many jobs. He's our boss.
Let me give you gas while we pause a moment because there's two of us. You need to give yourself some gas.
I'll do that if you don't interrupt me.
I will stop interrupting.
He's program director number one in the country and number one in your hearts. Now, since John's not here,
yes,
I had planned to give myself a little bit more of an introduction.
Well, I want
to
hear this. I'll let you, and then I can.
They used to call me Smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Smooth.
Yes.
They call me Deke. Nope. See, folks that try to call me Smooth, that was the old life. They call me Deke now, short for Deacon, as you know. That's what they call me. I've been here now since 2016. Very grateful to have been a host at 92.9 FM ESPN with my partner, John. I host one half of this show, also host Grisby.
Yay!
See, I can go a little longer in the introduction today and in my monologue because there's no John to interrupt me. And so I'm but grateful to be here, a humble servant, and I am excited, Brad.
Ooh.
You may not be able to tell because of the soothing voice, but I'm very excited about this weekend. Judgment Day.
Judgment Day for one Ryan Silverfield.
You knew where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
You took the man's name out of my mouth. We're going to get to that. I'm excited about Grizzlies, too. You got Grizzlies tonight against the Miami Heat. Yeah, give it the growl. Last I looked, a 3.5-point favorite. Do have John Morant on the injury list, but listed as questionable. Usually that means you can go. It was, you know, to see him on the injury list, along with KCP, who's also questionable. A little bit, you go, uh-oh. But you had to figure, you know, seeing him go down a couple of times in the win over New Orleans, he had the ankle braces on. But more importantly, you're coming off preseason, you didn't play because of the ankle injury. You know, seeing a questionable wasn't so far outside the realm of possibility. So while it's a little concerning, I hope he's out there tonight against Miami. Certainly seemed like the line would indicate most folks think he, or at least believe he will be. Hopefully he is. Otherwise, you might be looking at Javon Small being your starting point guard tonight. We'll get to it. Pregame starts here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 6:30. Eric Hasseltine will take you home. He's starting at 7 o'clock on the call on tip against the Heat. Mentioned it, we got a big weekend. It's been a fun NBA open so far in terms of performances. SGA had a career high last night. Did you see Aaron Gordon for Denver?
Yeah.
Goes for 50 in a loss. And then you've got the other side of what's going on with the NBA, what's making the most headlines in terms of the the betting scandal, the poker game scandal, and Chauncey Billups' role in it, obviously. We'll speak to that. Be no Terry Rozier, obviously. He's listed as out for Miami tonight. Well, he's been arrested. And so, yeah, you won't see Terry Rozier on that Miami roster tonight. We knew that yesterday. Minnesota Vikings got up and got, frankly, run over. Up and run over by the Chargers last night in Thursday Night Football, 37-10. Speaking of football, we said it. Big one at the bank tomorrow. Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, number 18, South Florida, coming in here. It's a really big weekend. Brad mentioned a SEC, huge weekend. Number 3, Texas A&M at number 20, LSU. And then you got number 8, Ole Miss, taking on number 13, Oklahoma. That's a big one. Also got Missouri Vandy. That's a big one. A lot of Vandy folks here in Memphis. World Series starts tonight, so it feels like a absolutely full weekend. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show. 11:30 or so, we'll talk to my brother Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media, regular contributor on Grizz Beat on Grind City Media as well. We'll chat about the Grizzlies' season opening win over those Pelicans and tonight's game versus Miami. You've also got, obviously, Indiana on your first of, I believe, 14 sets of back-to-backs starts this weekend with the Miami-Indiana back-to-back. The NBA betting scandal we're obviously also going to talk about with Sain. I'm curious. I mean, Chauncey Billups was always a guy that I thought, you know, after this worked his way up to the broadcast ranks after winning a finals MVP and a championship and obviously gets one of the those coveted coaching jobs in the NBA. Just thought he, you know, had a really, in terms of his reputation and an NBA reverence for him, boy, has it been tarnished in all of this. And I don't think in John and I's talk about this or previously, you know, realized that Chauncey wasn't just a poker game. Perhaps, and there's a co-conspirator that's unnamed, but it fits his description, you know, also leaking, you know, injury news. So he's directly involved as a coach, which is a whole nother, you know, a whole nother conversation for the NBA, who, I mean, you've got the Chauncey thing, I mean, acting head coach, but you've also got Rozier, who you cleared. And so they've got, you know, red headlines still everywhere, and this story obviously still developing because we don't have, while there were 30-something arrests, we don't have all the names yet. And so Charles Barkley said last night, a lot of people kind of holding their breath, you know, wondering, wow, was it one of them poker games? Wondering if their name's going to come out of that thing. He was saying that last night. Still weird to see the TNT show on ESPN. But I checked that out last night. At noon, we'll do the rundown like usual. There's some talk about what NBC's got planned with Michael Jordan the rest of the way in terms of its coverage, because that's been a big talker after Michael's halftime little snippet there with him and his excellence. And then at 1:25, very excited because keep in mind, on Monday, we'll be playing an exhibition game, Memphis versus Arkansas. Yes, Tigers basketball is back, and Parthu Pajai will be here to talk about it with us. 1:25, plenty of Tigers news like we talked about, and we'll talk about the Cal versus Penny, Cal coming back to play Memphis. Not first time back at FedEx Forum, obviously, with a team, but first time playing Memphis. This one won't count. Maybe one day we can get them to play it when it counts. But this one, I'm eager to see what that attendance is going to be like. We'll get a chance to talk about that on Monday. So lots to get to. Let's start with, listen, you could call this in many ways sort of a judgment weekend, because I think I do think, Brad, while it'll be early judgments on, if we extended this weekend into Monday, it'll be early judgments on the Grizzlies, who you've got what feel like three beatable opponents right here in this three-game homestand before you hit the road, I think, for three of the next four. You know, yes, you've only got Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson for now, but you feel like there, and we said this going into it, there was a chance to get off to a good start. And so maybe from an early season standpoint, particularly with this level of team, keep in mind, doesn't sound like Miami's going to have Tyler Hero, which they didn't have in the final preseason game in which you beat them in. And, of course, Indiana doesn't have Halliburton, although they gave OKC, and we'll get to that in rundown, they gave OKC quite the run last night, but felt like winnable games. If you came out 2-1, you'd feel good about the early season start. We'd said how important a good start was because you're trying to, we've used the phrase tread water, but just really be as good as you can be with a limited roster that's now down 5 guys, but particularly Zach Edey. Right, whether that's back in November or back in December, you're hoping that Zach Edey, certainly you're hoping that's it's sooner rather than later, but you're just trying to hold it down. So getting off to a good start, obviously, you know, it would be a good thing for this team. That said, maybe a little bit of an early season judgment. You won't be able to decide anything on these Grizzlies through three, but with this early opportunity, with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson on the floor against teams you hope that you're still better than with those two, yeah, a little bit of a judgment. Say the same thing if we're going to go to Monday. I'll skip Saturday for now. about seeing the Tigers out on the floor for the first time, right? Our chance. Now, they've done these scrimmages that apparently no media was allowed into, but you were as a season ticket holder. I was reading about that. But they have not obviously played an opponent. It'll be the first time where you can get eyes on them where you're not down on Beal and they're playing on a makeshift court and playing against an opponent. Keep in mind, Billy Richmond III, too, going to be on that side for Arkansas. And so it'll be sort of an early season judgment on the Tiger basketball team. Both of those, though, still so early. Whereas you've got this opportunity tomorrow at the bank, which I like. Don't you like the bank? Don't you like saying the bank?
Love the bank.
Yeah, as opposed to the sim.
Right? Yes.
The bank. Simmons yes. Bank Liberty Stadium.
The bank sounds kind of suave.
Take them to the bank.
Smooth.
Yeah. Something about that. I like it.
I
it's
like
just
that
a little
too.
Smoother than the sim.
Yeah.
11 a.m. We've talked about it all week, but I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You tell me. We've talked about it less because of the loss, obviously, that you suffered down in Birmingham, the Memphis Tigers last week going down. And again, we all said they had no business losing. And yes, it's taken some of the luster off. There'd been all the game day talk about the possibility of it. It wasn't just that, though. It was the opportunity to get, hopefully, two ranked teams, in Memphis's case, undefeated, right, to this spot where, listen, it's a virtual playoff game in terms of in the American, in terms of maybe for that Group of Five playoff spot, because you've got to get to the American Championship game and win it. In many ways, the stakes were so high. And while they're still high, like I said, some of the luster's come off, and so we haven't talked about it as much, and yet the opportunity for Memphis still is big. And so I would take that judgment day and bring it and place it on these Tigers tomorrow at 6 a.m. and specifically on Ryan Silverfield.
Yeah.
Because when you're coming off a loss like that one that we said was too similar to previous year's losses that have kept you out of conference title games, Brad's already sat back because he knows where I'm going, UTSA last year. The ones you couldn't afford to, and whether it was a stop here or not, it's kept you out of this elusive conference title game that, frankly, we use around here to help judge, right, the job that the coaches are doing, particularly, obviously, conference titles with Memphis basketball and football. Now, is that the bar for Memphis basketball? Of course not. I can hear some folks right now say, whoa, hold on now. Conference title is the bar for Penny Hardaway? No, it's part of it. Winning that, winning the conference title, getting to the tournament, yes, making runs so you can get the excitement up and get it back going. Penny says, he said it out loud, we're losing the battle to the Grizzlies right now because we haven't made those runs. But that's all part of it. Yes, but winning conference titles is in there. And it's the same thing for Ryan Silverfield. And so here you are having lost another game, the type of game against an opponent you shouldn't. And in that same spot where it's back against the wall, listen, last year Ryan Silverfield beat Tulane late in the season and showed, hey, I can beat a ranked team. You know how many ranked wins he's got since he became head coach since 2020? Mm-hmm. I know you count cotton bowl against him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it right here. So let's say since 2020, mm-hmm. number of ranked teams that he's beat.
Is it like four?
It's one.
It's one. Who was it? Mississippi State?
It was Tulane last season.
Oh, Tulane last season. Yeah.
Let
down Silverfield.
Let down 1-4. We're just saying opportunity here. He did beat Tulane last season. He's gotten some, but it hasn't been those that have cost him that much as it's been, Brad, the ones that he hasn't gotten.
Right.
Navy wasn't ranked last year. UTSA wasn't ranked last year. You failed to get it done against both of them. That said, you're back to an opportunity now to get your second ranked win and hopefully get back in the race. The issues. I know that sounds like a Ryan Silverfield has a big game issue problem. What he's got is getting to a conference title game and winning one problem. Mm. That's the issue here. Because I can hear the other side of the argument says, well, Jason, 21 wins over the last 2 years. That's fantastic. But what it comes without is the conference title. And if we're going back to what we measure our coaches by around here, that's where Ryan Silverfield's come up short. Now, getting to this game, it's unfortunate that it doesn't sound like that if you have Brendan Lewis, you're going to have him at 100%. Obviously gets hurt in that UAB game, has to be pulled. You go to A.J. Hill. Ryan Silverfield has listed him as day-to-day. We have no idea. And I think he's played it correctly here in terms of not wanting to give Alex Golish in South Florida, you know, too much information. We have no idea whether or not he's going to go. We know what A.J. Hill, the freshman, who we – but you know, before Saturday, We had no idea what he was capable of, really. Knew he was a thrower, capable of on the field against an actual opponent. Like, we knew he was a thrower coming in here as a four-star. But to see him go out and get Memphis back in that game in a different way with his arm, right, different than they'd won all season long with their rushing attack. Remember, I think it was Memphis just 111 rushing yards in that game, a season low. They'd gone to the pass game with A.J. Hill. That was good to see, but, you know, until then we had not seen it. You know, here's the thing. You're going to go to A.J. Hill in a must-win game against a ranked opponent. My point is it's unfortunate for Ryan that Brendan Lewis is not, you know, 80, 90, 100% at least. Hopefully he is 80. Maybe I'm just shot too low there. But that he's not at full strength so that you could give this all that you have. But, frankly, you have to throw that out. Because, and I made the point after that loss to UAB, we didn't excuse Penny Hardaway and some of those goals that we expect him to reach for losing Tyrese Hunter late in the season. And whether it's Brendan Lewis or Arrington Maiden or A.J. Hill, you've got to get the job done. And unfortunately, you've put yourself in a situation where you can't afford to lose and take that second conference loss because of a loss to UAB. And so I say judgment day in a way that Ryan Silverfield has won a lot of games at Memphis, and he's won bowl games. What he's lacked is a conference title. And for all of the wins, right, and the success, it's a 1-4 record against ranked teams. So there's an opportunity to twofold here, Brad, if you're following me here. There's an opportunity to get back in the conference race, right, be there, knock off South Florida, who feels like the favorite right now, and there's an opportunity to check a box in terms of big game wins against this number 18 South Florida team that, oh, by the way, is, what, knocked off two ranked opponents at the time in Boise State and Florida. Like, what they've played is much tougher than you. There's an opportunity for Ryan Silverfield to get something back here. And that's what, you know, I can talk numbers and everything else, and we can break down the game, and we'll do that at some point. But that's what you really need to get, because, Brad, you were listening. We took calls after UAB coming in here. And there were, forget what we're saying, there were fans who had made the trip down to UAB expecting the Tigers to win that game, right, and dominate that UAB team that was playing with an interim coach and a backup quarterback that were angry. Right, that had, as he said, had defended Ryan Silverfield. But the point was losing belief. Well, you can get some of that back with a win tomorrow. It doesn't guarantee you making the AAC title game, unfortunately, because your back's still against the wall. You really gotta win the rest of them. It feels like two losses unless you're gonna get a bunch of help, two losses is gonna put you out, just like it did last year. And so there's so much to be gained here with a win. That said, let's be real. I mean, did you read, you know, reading Jonah Dillon's piece over the commercial appeal, you know, and you knew this because he's coming off of the, you know, he had come back from the injury. I think it was a foot injury, but DeWosier is not right. I know he rushed for, what, 70-something yards, most of their yards on the ground against UAB, but he's got a bad foot. He talked about he thinks he would have gotten in. He told Jonah Dillon, he might have told the entire media, it might have been a scrum, but he thinks he would have gotten in if not for the bad foot. And the quote was almost wish somebody had been healthy enough to get in. So huge opportunity here. You know, in many ways, yes, because this is why I say judgment day, Brad. You tell me if I'm being too extreme. If Ryan Silverfield loses this game, that's two losses. We're going to come in here on Monday. We're going to say it's over. You know, yes, they'll still play Navy, and yes, they'll still play Tulane, but you'll be banking on help from everybody else at that point. And what will the feeling be then? Will we be turning the page? I'm asking you. Will we be turning the page on Monday on Tigers football season?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You need to win this game to move this thing forward. And so we're positive on Monday, and we're looking at an opportunity still. We still have the opportunity, bird in hand.
So I'd ask you, if Memphis loses this one, and say they lose to Navy or whatever else, but yeah, the point being, they win a few more games. Yeah. Ryan Silverfield gets to, what, 9 wins, whatever else. Mm-hmm. You know, will that have been a good job? What will we have said about the job Ryan Silverfield did after being 6-0, having an easy one against Tulane and a setup that possibly would have included game day, but more importantly, the inside track? Yeah. You were the favorite at that point. You know, what will we say of the season and the job he has done, even if he's added 9 or 10 more wins if it's a bowl?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of need it. You got to kind of win out here a little bit, because that's the opportunity, because we didn't expect you to stub your toe against, this was not the one. We assumed they'd just win that game.
What I would say is it's a job failed Because what we haven't changed are the goalposts. John and I said this before we saw Memphis even on the field, yeah, that it, because of the level of investment, because of what, not just the NIL and sure, where you are from that standpoint, I'm talking about the level of investment you've got in your new stadium, mm, the renovations, what you need coming up. We said this before we even saw this new 70-plus guys on the field. Ryan Silverfield's got to make the conference title game. Sure, we could have said, well, Seth Hennigan's gone. Give him a reset year. The reason we can't do that is because the equity's not there. You haven't made the conference title game. You know, you know what Memphis's record was? This is why this matters. In 2019 against ranked teams, when game day was coming and everything else?
What was it?
3-1.
Yeah. I mean, we had all of it.
The one you've won since is the Tulane game last year. That's not keeping it at the level that Ryan Silverfield said. No. And again, I'm not trying to hold him to his word as much as I'm saying the standard, part of the goal of being a coach over there in this American conference that John and I have gone crazy trying to, man, oh boy, it'd be great if you could get out, is winning this conference. Mm-hmm. And certainly for Ryan Silverfield, who hasn't made it, yeah, man, there's more pressure on you, especially in a season where it looked like it was so set up. Even if you lost to South Florida, Brad, you would have still had some wiggle room there with just the one loss. Now you don't. There's a lot to be gained, though, tomorrow. We're talking about, you know, less than 24 hours from kickoff, 11 a.m., ESPN2 game. You know, Alex Golish right now has probably become the favorite in terms of AAC coaches that are up for Power 4 jobs. We were seeing his name. We were seeing Ryan's name. We were seeing Sumrall's name at Tulane. He's probably, Alex at this point, probably emerged. Have you seen what their offense is doing last four games?
Yeah.
57 points.
They go fast.
Like ADs love that. If I'm Florida's AD.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, and I can't get Lane Kiffin.
No, it's great.
And this guy came into the swamp and beat me playing that high-octane offense. They do just what Tennessee did because that's who he got it from. Golish got it from Heupel. And so they're high pace. They score a ton of points. Who wouldn't want that? He's moved past Ryan. Certainly, as a favorite in terms of coaches, and you can get some of that back, you know, with a win tomorrow. And so, listen, for the fans that are going, because those are the most important people. Do you believe in Ryan Silverfield, who's got what, 4 more years on his deal now in terms of contract? That's why nobody's talking about firing. Because he's got 4 more years on the deal if he wins 9 more games. If he wins 9 games, he gets an additional year, including a $100,000 raise.
He can lose two more games.
You technically have 5
games
left on. And so you'd have 5 years left on his contract. Nobody's talking about that. Mm-mm. But we are talking about whether or not you believe that he's ever going to get the job done.
Right.
The same job that we hold Penny to. You know, there is a different opportunity for Ryan in this sense that Penny doesn't have. You win the American in basketball, might get you an 8 or 9 seed. Yeah, if you have a great non-conference to go with it and get you a 5 seed like last year. You win the American in football, where Memphis has made its shift. That athletic department has made a shift in terms of investment. What does it get you possibly? A college football playoff appearance. And that, in terms of for Memphis football history, is as big as anything they've done. Right, it's a little bit different in cashing in as the conference champion, what it can get you. And right now for Memphis football, at a time where you're transitioning into, you know, renovations, you want to have that thing packed. You now technically own, but you control the place. City's giving it over to you, man. You got to cash in. You can't keep letting these little toys. You know how CJ, man, was a little kid. He used to leave Legos and stuff, and I would step on them. It's the worst pain ever, and that's what's. It's been those games, really, that have cost Ryan a chance to be in that conference title game. Well, he did it again last week, stubbed his toe. Hopefully, again, you can, in getting this win over South Florida, it's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I realize South Florida's, what, a 6.5-point favorite. You're unsure about the Memphis quarterback. But if you can get it, you can get some of that belief back. Maybe some of those fans that were ready to stop defending you after UAB, you can get them back in. You get back on track. Very important opportunity for Memphis. Hopefully they're just healthy enough. There's just a lot of reasons to believe South Florida's the better team. And then when you add on Memphis's injury concerns, it's not just Brendan Lewis and whether Memphis is going to go more pass with A.J. Hill or go to Arrington Maiden and be more like that that Brendan Lewis offense. It's defensively. How are you going to stop Byron Brown? I mean, there's so many things you have to worry about with this South Florida team. But that said, the opportunity is at your place. We said before the season, boy, you got South Florida, you got Tulane, you got Navy at home. That's an opportunity for Ryan Silverfield to cash in. Well, we're not moving around here, the goalposts. So they got to make a conference title game because you've stubbed that toe. Back's against the wall. You got to win this one tomorrow. Or, unfortunately, we're going to have to turn the page. Many of us, well, it won't just be us here and me. Many of us, just in terms of investment level, you'll be turning the page on this season because, once again, Ryan won't have, you know, likely have made a conference title game. You'll have put yourself too far back. So hopefully you can take advantage of the opportunity. We're going to take advantage of the opportunity to talk to Anthony Sand like we do every Friday. We're going to talk Grizz. Lots to talk about with him. Obviously, tonight's game against Miami, we're very hopeful John Morant's going to be back on the floor for a second consecutive game. Ask Sand whether we think you're going to see him for both, the back-to-back. So much to talk about from that win over the Pelicans, the season outlook for the Grizzlies, the NBA, the betting scandal. We'll do all that with Anthony Sand on the other side. You listen to J&J, 929 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon. Underground king of Memphis sports media, independent journalist, founder of Asylum Media Group, regular contributor on Grizzbeat on Grind City Media, Wednesdays at 3, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. Sane, sorry about the connection today and that we had to go a different route. Still grateful that we've got you. How you feeling, 1-0? I saw your tweet. Said, for haters like me, back down, let's celebrate.
I ain't say nobody's name, brother. Don't start there, man. Hey, I just sit back and be quiet, man. I let the talkers talk, man. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, the Grizz is going to be all right, bro. You got to wait it out, man. Sometimes you just got to be patient, man. Everything going to be all right.
What was the best thing out of that win for you in terms of things we liked?
Ja Morant being on the court, man, playing basketball. Then probably Cedric Cowell was right behind him. Cedric Cowell, the guy that you invested a lot in, that you – and he was part of the Desmond Bane trade, and he's looking like a guy who's going to be able to play some basketball this year, man. So sign me up for it.
Yeah, I know he missed some – he didn't miss any shots, and a lot of folks are focused on that. I think it was like Thabo, the last rookie or something, scored at least 10 and not missed shots or something like that. Mm-hmm. I thought the way You tell me what you thought. I thought just as impressive, if not more so, or at least something to get as excited about, was the way that he went up against Zion, the way he walled up and took it upon himself. The want to, Sane, you know, getting after it. He got on the flow for a loose ball. It created a fast break. And, you know, for as much as, and again, it's not to single him out, but we've been waiting on that from Gigi, right? Whether it's being a dog and that defensive side, I just thought that part of Coward's game, that want to, which had been advertised, was just as impressive as all the shots that he made. What do you think?
Yeah, the Grizzlies have been pretty successful with these late bloomer type guys that they've kind of went after. There's a lot of guys that kind of fit their mold, guys who've been kind of slept on a lot. And he's just another guy, man. Like, he shows that maximum effort. And like I said, even the only thing you can really knock him about in the preseason was he couldn't make any threes. His three-point shot wasn't falling. And that's something that, you know, a lot of rookies struggle with. You hope that over time he can get that together. A lot of the billing about him as a prospect did include three-point shooting, so I'm sure that we'll see that rev up, you know, over time. But the effort, the basketball IQ, the defensive ability, we've seen all those things on display. We saw those things in the preseason, too. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player for this organization, man. It's just one of those things, you just got to give him time and just give him reps. And I hate the injuries we have right now, but I think that it is, especially like even an injury like a Vince Williams injury, right? You know, he's a guy that Coach Isolo might have a little bit more trust in, but to see that, you know, Vince isn't there, of course, Ty Jerome isn't there, it's allowing those minutes for Cedric Howard. And he's, you know, he's really shining in those opportunities he's been given.
Ja Morant was fantastic. You mentioned it. McCall 12, he saves you, was fantastic for them, and passes Michael Jordan as the all-time opening night leading scorer.
Crazy, right?
crazy that he's in that city, that he's passing Michael in that category. I think it's five, but I will absolutely take it because you're qualified. I saw him go down in that game a couple of times too. Mm-hmm. You know, play the way that Ja Morant plays. I mean, he was everywhere. He was also falling and everything else. I thought he did a somersault on one where he should have got a foul call. And there was a couple of times, I remember one in specifically, where Brevin Knight's like, oh, no. Brevin Knight's like, oh, no. I was watching on the broadcast. I hope to be down there tonight. I bring that up because we saw that Ja was wearing, and Michael had talked about it, the ankle braces. And, and I'm not bringing it up to suggest that that's what got him through, but how significant do you think, you know, we've talked about it, and Steph had ankle issues early in his career, talked about the brace. Yeah. How significant is Ja wearing the ankle braces in your mind?
I think it's a big deal, man. I am going to give those credit to why he stayed in that game the other night. You know what I mean? I watched that replay with the Brevin Knight. Oh no! I watched that like at half speed, and you can see like Ja, you know, he tweaked that ankle a little bit.
Yep.
But the braces, you know, were able to keep him in the game, man. And were able to probably where he's going to play tonight. I'm just overjoyed, man, with just Ja's level of maturity of all together. You know what I mean? Even going back to media day, he was being focused in media day. Wasn't really joking around too much. You know, playing around, just being serious. He's giving good answers to questions. You can see that he's taking young guys under his wing.
Yeah.
He's mentioning the young guys a lot. And he's made a connection with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as well. I think Ja is just showing another level of maturity, including understanding the value of his body and that his body is his number one asset, man. You know what I mean? And I'm looking for a good year with him. I think he plays tonight. And I'm just excited that he's wearing those ankle braces, man. And not just that. He's changing his game. You've seen him getting to the mid-range shot another night a little bit more, the floater a little bit more. He's finishing at the basket as well.
Yep.
But it does seem like he's picking his spots as far as when he wants to try to get all the way to the rim, and just depending on who the defender is, et cetera.
How would you handle the back-to-back with Ja, knowing that he missed the preseason, he's wearing the braces, which seemed like a, you know, an effort to maybe increase the availability? Would you if you're the front officer, you're Isolo, are you looking at that as a situation where I want to sit him on that second night, especially if I pick up the win tonight with him? Like, is it, do you just let Ja call it? And if he wants to go all three, you let him roll? How would you handle it with availability being so important?
Man, you know me, man. You can't – my thing is you can't take the basketball out of basketball, bro. Like, you can't avoid injuries, bro. Let these dudes play. If he feels good enough to play today, let him play. If he feels good enough to play Saturday, let him play. Like, if these guys – it doesn't take – there's nothing special or specific about when guys get hurt, right? You know what I mean? He could go out there 2 weeks from now and get hurt again or a totally different injury. I'm not a fan of trying to avoid basketball. That's what a lot of today's theology is kind of sum up to my opinion, like you're trying to take basketball out of the game. But if he can go, man, let him go. And I think Ja personally, especially with the guys that we have out with injuries, man, I think he should go if he's able to go. Because he's like, if the role players on this team are able to keep us in games, Ja's good enough to go win a game for you. We saw that the other night, right? We saw in the closing moments when we needed, you know, Ja to be, you know, super 12, he went out there and did it. You know what I mean? So I want to see him play as much as he can.
It would. I feel like it would be Javon Small if Ja couldn't go against Indiana in that back.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other, I'd really love it for the fans, right? We missed him in the preseason. You didn't get a chance. Mm-hmm. You got a 3-game homestand to open the season that you're hoping to get off on a good foot, especially because this schedule turns up. And to have him on the floor for all three would be awesome. Fans, for the team, mm-hmm. for winning, for all of it. All right, Jaren Jackson Jr., because I'm torn saying I need you to tell, mm-hmm. educate me on which way I need to be leaning. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot to like. The six blocks. Yeah. You mentioned it. You've talked about it, too, on your show. Isolo playing him through the foul trouble. I mean, Isolo did a lot of stuff we can talk about, but Isolo played Ja through the foul trouble. That was Jaren through the foul trouble. That was a change from Taylor Jenkins. And frankly, in the third, those were the minutes where Jaren was out there in the foul trouble where they turned it around, and he got 5 of the 6 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way Jaren played in the foul trouble was there were positives out of that. I'll take the 8 rebounds, but there was also the getting into it. So and the fact that he ended up fouling out. Where are you on Jaren Jackson Jr.'s game and where it needs to be in a first game one for him?
Yeah, I mean, there was a stretch in that game where Jaren was everything we wanted Jaren to be, right? You know, hitting the boards, getting blocks, scoring in the paint, getting to the basket, posting up, all these type of things. Like, Jaren was looking incredible during a certain stretch of that game. And he got the foul trouble, right? And some of those fouls were the same, you know, same issues we've been having with Jaren for years, right? Yeah. And the thing is, man, I love when Coach Isolo said, you've got to earn trust with your players. It's got to be a two-way street where I trust him, you trust me, right? And how he didn't want to foul Jaren out. And Jaren's got to learn, man. He needs to feel it. It could be a situation where it's like, oh, I got 3. Let me go sit down. No, stay out there. You need to see how you doing this affects the team, right? But I think the major thing with Jaren is he's got to make sure that Coach Tomas Isolo is getting a return on his investment. Because he's with that level of trust he's putting in Jaren, Jaren has to hold himself accountable, man. He's gotta do what he needs to do to stay on the court. Like he was playing too well during certain stretches of the game, key moments of the game. He was absolutely unguardable, bro. You know what I mean? And like I said, if I looked up at a stat line and I was like, Jaren had 18 points, 8 rebounds, which might have been crazier than the 6 blocks, you know. If I saw Jaren have 18, 8 and 6 in 25, 26 minutes, I'm going to be like, oh, man, Isolo should have played him more. But I can't say that. Jaren took himself out of the game. You know what I mean? Jaren probably, in a game where he's playing 30, 35 minutes, you may be looking at, you know, 25, 10, and 6 or whatever, you know, and which would have been an amazing line for him. Like I said, Isolo has a lot of trust in him. He believes in him. He's letting him stay on the court when he's getting those fouls. He's using him in ways he's never been used before, really, on both ends of the ball. And I just hope that Jaren, you know, appreciates that and makes a return on his investment. He has to do it, bro. He has to learn how to set screens. He has to continue to get rebounds. He's got to be tough in the paint. All those things we saw him do in that game against the Orleans. He's got to, like I said, Coach Isolo is investing in him. He's got to make a return on his investment.
See, that's where I'm at on Jaren. I did get some back when I was, you know, a little bit critical of you need more from Jaren. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go crazy, but do you buy into any of the Jaren doesn't get the whistle he deserves as a former defensive player of the year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of do believe that about Ja, but I wonder too, mm-hmm. what the refs think about Ja. You know, Ja's not an NBA champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then Jaren specifically is one of those guys that kind of, you know, he shows his frustration when he's, you know, and he's not Draymond Green. He hadn't won championships or got them fearing mm-hmm. him. I'm just curious, do you buy into at all that he doesn't get the whistle he deserves?
Well, to an extent, but Jaren just does a lot of odd things, man. You know what I mean? Like, he does odd things with his hands, odd things with his feet. His position is bad. Position is really bad.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into a Taylor Jenkins rant, which I really want to go into, but I'm not going to do it. But, like, Jaren was just kind of mishandled, man. Like, you know, it's one of those things where I hear other people saying things like, well, you know, well, this is why, like, that's like, this is why, you know, they didn't set screens to Jaren because he can't stop fouling. Well, okay, bro, well, you deal with him. Year one, year two, Jaren, and you get that out of him because, bro, you have to be able to do this.
Yes.
You just can't say, well, he can't do it, so don't make him do it. No, man, you've got to I'm not going to get to do it,
but
bro.
Especially now, though, right, Sam? Because he's about to be making $49 and $50 million in the next couple of years.
Not even that. I don't care if he was making league minimum.
Great point.
The second best player on his team. He has to do that. Like, there has to be the fact that he played 7 years of his career and there was no two-man game between him and
Is a mishandling of him.
Malpractice, bro. It's insane. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the things that we didn't hold him accountable for. And we had all these theologies and terminologies and case studies of why Jaren didn't have to rebound because of the way. I mean, all these things are crazy, bro. And things that I even found myself subscribing to. And looking at it in hindsight, it was all just a bunch of nonsense. There was no reason why they couldn't put an emphasis on Jaren being part of the guys who go get rebounds on this team. And Isolo in a game, we've seen he can do it, bro. He could have always done it. You know what I mean? You just have to make it a priority. Sell it to him that's a priority. It's something he needs to do. And I hope we see more of the same. I hope that 8 rebounds is the floor for Jaren this season. That would be absolutely incredible if Jaren Jackson Jr. is a 20-point scorer, 8 rebounds, and multiple blocks per game. You're talking about a whole another level of player at that point. But he's got to stay on the court, man. He can't show you those kind of glimpses, and he's only in 26 minutes. And not because, you know, Coach Isolo is holding him out because of minutes or whatever. It's strictly because you're fouling out of the game. But I'll take this, man. I want Jaren's number of fouls per game, honestly, to increase. You know what I mean? I know this sounds crazy. What I mean by that is, man, let him use all of them, bro. If he has to keep fouling out to learn, keep letting him sink until he swims, man. And let him go out there and get some water in his lungs, man, until he hates that feeling and he knows how to stay on the court. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I'm with you. Good call on Omax working his way into the early season rotation, man. And he gave them what they need. His length and his energy, you had said it before the season, with as thin as they were. Yeah, frankly, I like him out there in terms of what they need more than I like Jock Landale right now. I know it's different positions, but in terms of the energy and some rebounding, man, Omax, and it might be here for a minute that they're going to need him.
Yeah, man, I like Omax's game, man. Just a guy, just a crazy athlete. He reminds me kind of like the not as far as the offensive skill, but he reminds me of the one of those Rodney Carney. What's the guy, Wilson? That was an insane.
Michael Wilson.
He reminds me of one of those just freak athlete dudes right there, right? Who just give that effort. Mixed in with some, you know, maybe some DeAndre Williams. I don't know why I'm comparing so many to all Tiger basketball players. But, yeah, he just reminds you of those old school guys who you don't really know what position they played, but they're just super athletic, and their athleticism can make up for their lack of height or strength. Because he's not a big guy. He's wiry as hell. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He just plays super hard, man. You saw him going up against Zion and getting boards and getting to the basket. He just plays like his hair is on fire. And he's the type of player that I knew this city is going to like. I knew this fan base is going to like. And like I said, man, like I've been saying the whole preseason, he's a guy. He's going to be knocking on that door to get real minutes in these games. And he got them, you know, the other night. What's this going to look like once you start getting guys back? I don't know. But I would not be surprised if the Grizzlies, I'm going to say when the Grizzlies do some things to consolidate this roster, I wouldn't be surprised if Omax Prosper ends up being, you know, part of that that regular rotation, regular roster.
His emergence, saying, I just feel like it's, you know, when we see him out there doing those things, and again, because we're all rooting for the young man. I know we kind of touch on this weekly with you, but mm-hmm. it's one game, but it felt like the sort of start of getting lost in the shuffle for GG Jackson. Man, when you see all those other guys out there, you know, in front of him.
Yeah, when the opportunity where you got guys missing, man, whether it's front court guys or wings, those are two positions that GG plays, right?
Yep.
And, you know, instead of going to a John Conchar, you're supposed to be GG Jackson. But he just hadn't earned that right, man. He can't do the little things.
Yep.
Yeah, he can't do those little things to stay on the court, man. And people say, you know, send him to South Haven. He asked the question, okay, what does that help? After these same things last year, what does that help? If he's struggling finding a role, why send him to South Haven to dominate and score 30 a game? Like, how is that helping him with the Grizzlies? You know what I mean? So it's kind of a strange situation with him. He's so young, man, that if you wanted to make an investment just to kind of keep him around to see if you could get him to turn into something, that may work out for the Grizzlies. But it's just he's just not learning how to play a role on the team. Yep. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's too late for him to do that. You know what I mean? I think that Coach Isolo, a lot of if you heard some of the comments he made during over the summer and all those type of things, he really wants GG to pan out. And he really knows if I can get this 6'9 athletic scoring wing forward, whatever, to get going and, you know, be a defender as well. I think he could be amazing. But he's just not getting it so far. I'm a little worried about Santi, too.
So I was
man.
Just about to like, say, I'm sitting up here asking you about Gigi when Santi just got paid, and he should be doing more than he did in that first guy. I know he blocked a couple Zion shots, or at least one.
Big down the end.
But he kind of no-showed off in some ways offensively.
Yeah, it's strange because I don't know if it's a system thing or, you know, I just got married this summer thing or what it is. I just played Eurobasket or whatever, but he's definitely, we need more from him offensively, man. I think Coach Isola really needs to figure out a way to try to make things simple for him. I don't know, maybe make him practice with a Spanish national team jersey on. Maybe, I don't know what he needs to do, man.
It does seem like a different Santi when he's got that jersey on.
Yeah. Or maybe put that joint on under his green jersey. I don't know. The shorts, put the shorts on underneath or something. I don't know. Shout out to Michael Jordan with the North Carolina joints. But I don't know what he needs to do, man. But like I said, he was huge down the stretch in that game the other night with blocks and rebounds.
With his length.
We need him to be a guy who's giving you 12, 15 points a game.
Like, every night, consistently.
He's got to be able to give you that.
Yep.
So I do need Santi to step up for sure.
Talking to the great Anthony Sane, the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media here on J&J. Mentioned Grizzlies got Miami tonight. Tip at 7 down at FedEx Forum. All right, first couple of nights in the NBA, and we'll get to it. I got to ask you about the, the headlines with Chauncey and with Rozier and everything. But what we've had are some great games and some great performances in these first couple of nights that I think have been overshadowed, unfortunately, for the NBA by this Fed news, this FBI news and everything else. What team or individual performance has had you talking the most outside of Grizzlies, just looking over the NBA, has had you talking the most that you found yourself?
What team has me talking the most?
Team or individual player, right now, that you've seen over the first couple of nights. You know, SGA had a career high last night, 55. You saw Wimby. He was unbelievable. Doncic in his debut, I think, had 43, 12, and 9. I mean, there have been some. Aaron Gordon goes for 50 last night in a loss to Golden State as a team looks great. What stood out to you so far,
bro? I just don't have an answer for that. Not that I ain't been watching games, because that's the thing too. Shout out to me, man. I'm legit as hell this year. I got all these apps, man. All the apps since the games come on. I'm paying for them joints. Get a receipt every month. You know what I mean? Like for real.
So what? You got a setup and everything with a bunch of TVs, or you just have every possible option? You can see every game.
Here's the thing, Smith. I still be in my room watching on the phone or it. Somewhere hosting music bingo, watching on my phone or watching it in some bar or something, because
all you need.
This woman I'm with, man, dominates the television. Like I've got like this 80-something inch TV that I never see.
That's unfortunate. You can't even get a weekend.
She packs me up and sends me in my room, man. Like I watch the games on my iPhone, bro. 9 times out of 10, on the toilet or something. Like,
man, Little is a joker on there, dunking on your phone.
Yeah, I can't watch, but 9 times out of 10, I'm probably hosting with Cerrito. Like, I'm probably out with Cerrito doing, music bingo somewhere. So I'm watching it at Huey's or, Laughlin Yard or, wherever, Valdo's or whatever. So I'm watching it where I'm working, more than likely. But at the house, I don't see the TV at all. But I will say this, man.
Spurs a problem, I'll tell you that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw somebody say this on Twitter, and I had to agree. It feels like we're in some type of basketball renaissance, man. Like, for real. Like, and seeing... And seeing, like, the NBC presentation bring the retro back to the current, right, and seeing Michael Jordan on TV and seeing guys like Vince Carter and Carmelo Anthony doing commentary, it feels like – because there's, like – I've always said this about the NBA, right? You know I'm a huge NBA fan. If you go watch my episode from opening night of the Grizzlies on Anthony Sane show, you can see exactly how much of a NBA fan I am. What's the not safe for work warning before y'all go watch an episode of the show as well. But I love the NBA, man. And something I've said about the NBA for a long time is the NBA is different because with the NBA is the only league where guys are pretty much out of the league that are physically able to still compete in the league. I think the NBA might be the only league that's like that, right? Because, every year you got 60 new rookies coming in, and guys are getting booted out. And these guys are physically able to still go, right? But there's only 15 spots on the team. So, guys are getting out of here, right? You see guys who, like, Brogdon, is retiring. Like, guys who, like, were real NBA rotation players aren't in the league anymore. Like, you know, you see guys all the time that they can still go, but they're not – they're physically able to go, but they're just getting booted out of the league. And I think it caused a lot of haters, right? I think commentary-wise, you hear a lot of guys knocking the current players. But I think the current players have looked so good. The game has looked so good. And you've got teams that they're just playing at such a high level. You got so many visible stars, man. Like, in the last couple of days, we've seen SGA look incredible. We've seen – the Pacers without Halliburton still be good, right?
Yep,
we've seen Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry is almost 40 years old, man. Put on a masterclass last night. Aaron Gordon, who's just such a great story of a guy who came in getting baby Blake Griffin comps, and he's morphed himself into this super great defender. He's shooting threes out there. The man had 50 points the other night.
It's unbelievable.
Alperoon Sengun, who looks like a baby Jokic out there. He looked incredible in the night. KD looks like he's, you know, found a place that's going to be a good home for him.
I like the answer. It's a renaissance. I like the way you're going with it. That's the way you're going.
Anthony Edwards looks like some cyborg Michael Jordan that can shoot threes. Like, it's insane, bro. Like the level of how good these guys are, right? And then you got Ja Morant here who scores almost all his points within the three-point line, right? He's a guy who scored – you know, 31, 35, whatever the other night, and you know he can go out for 40, 50 points. Wimby, who looks like, what in the world are you, bro? I mean, like, I just think the place we are in the NBA right now is so incredible, man, where you've got guys who are, you know, headed out the door in their twilight, but they're approaching 40 and still high-level players. What are you talking about, LeBron? Shout out to that man, Bud Muscle, whatever you got going on. Hey, as a man who's above 40, when that brother says sciatica, the grin across my face and the tear to roll my eye, I feel like I'm not alone in being an old man out here. You know what I mean? But guys like LeBron who can still go at a high level, KD, Steph, to see those guys still go at a high level. Then you got the guys behind them, the next level of guys who all are insanely skilled and insanely scary. And the great games you've seen, the double overtimes, NBC's back in the fold. I can watch games on my phone while I'm on the toilet. I can go be out, whatever, and just watch games all these different ways, right? Because people complain about the NBA, and I don't really understand it. I've said this everywhere I've given them. Like, I don't understand what people are so mad about because I have way more access to way more games, and I'm paying way less than I was paying for cable 15 years ago to watch these games. I don't understand what the outrage is about as far as access to the games, because someone who's a recent convert to being legit when it comes down to watching games, it actually feels pretty good, bro. I can actually watch everything and I ain't really spending that much money.
But, I'm with you. And I love that because I'm feeling what you're saying about, you know, in terms of kind of in a way, everything stood out. You got the old guard trying to hold off this new sort of renaissance group of players, SGA leading them. Feeling like I'm not gonna lie, I'm getting Michael Jordan vibes from him, man. Even though I've kind of hated on him early in his career. Hate's a strong word, but tried to hold the Canadian thing or the weird thing or you're not good on in commercials, right, against him. This dude has a process, right? Yeah. And I watched him those first three quarters against Houston not have it, and then he locked in fourth quarter. He locked in them overtimes. Had KD jumping around at the end.
Yep.
Like, it scares me to death, but it's also fascinating to watch, you know, him, you know, where he's taking that thing and just the rest of it. Wimby included, just I love the renaissance answer. I have to I've held you too long, but I must know sort of where your starting point is on the – because it's so layered – on what the NBA, unfortunately, the thing that's overshadowing these great games and performances is this story on Chauncey, on Terry Rozier. Of course, the NBA had cleared Rozier, had done the investigation it said it could do, and put him back out there. You have a sitting coach in Chauncey Billups, not just the rigged poker game, but also tied to, or at least his description fits, a co-conspirator that gave information about them team tanking. And so where do you start? Are you mad at the NBA? Are you mad at prop bets? I mean, where do you even start with this?
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm going to say this, man, and I don't want to get anybody's feathers ruffled up, but this is just me. This is my sincere feelings about this. I'm extremely upset with the individual guys that are caught up in these things. And the NBA is a business, and people are going to bet whether the NBA allows it or not. You know, people are going to do what they got to do, right?
Yes.
Like, we didn't just now start betting on these things once it got legal, once you got the phone apps, right? It's disappointing to me, man, because especially a guy like Chauncey Billups, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about situations where they say that black NBA coaches have a very short leash and they don't give us jobs. And, you know, you wonder why certain guys have been career assistants forever. like, you know, the Sam Cassells, all these type of things. And a guy gets in that position, and, man, you just totally – and not just – I've got – I can't curse. I'm thinking I'm in podcast brain. Like, not just are you, like, on some betting stuff. You in some scary stuff, bro. Like, you in some, like – how you get hooked up with them type? You know what I mean? Like, cause, like weird casino stuff and – and it's just, man, like, and like I don't want nobody to look at this, oh, man, I knew it was rigged. No, man, this is these are isolated, super crazy, scary incidents these guys are involved in. And I, but like I said, I've been watching some hellified games this past week, man. And I'm not going to let this cast a shadow over it. Like, I love the NBA. I love basketball. I'm very disappointed in these particular guys, though, man. Like, Damon Jones, man, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you've been blessed to have an NBA career, and you made more of a name on some foul stuff, bro, just this. He was involved in the dental scandal thing. Like, bro, like, come on, man. Like, because at the end of the day, they ain't got the Gambinos on the news. Like, they ain't got the Mafioso or the – they ain't got all them dudes. They ain't calling their names.
It's not their face, right. Their face is not the one on TV getting run up out
there. Right, and his faces look like me and you, man. It's disappointing because it's like, man, you guys have been blessed to be in a situation where, you know what I mean, not many people can say they've been in, right? And the things that you're doing, like squandering it away, is scary, man, especially the levels of what they're doing. Like, not just, hey, grandma, I'm about to go do this, or hey, little Pookie, hey, my little cousin, or hey, dude down the street, I'm about to go do this, go bet on it. Like, man, you're involved in, like, mafia
deep
stuff, man. You're involved
stuff.
In some wild stuff, bro. Like, FBI knocking on your door type stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. But like I said, I do say this, though. I do say the NBA and, you know, the gambling sites, and it's crazy. I don't want to be a hypocrite because – I get a check from a gambling site. You know what I mean? My bills are paid because my show advertises gambling. I gamble. I made like $50 last night, right? You know what I mean? Whatever. But I don't want to be a hypocrite at all. But I think they do need to make things where why am I able to sit at home and bet on?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.